Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. I guess we're approaching close to the end of the year. I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse. Excuse me. Live from 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, or Old Etobicoke, as I always like to say. And welcome to my show. Tonight, I'm just going to talk about a few things. One, about safety for yourself, myself, through the holidays, and a few announcements, but it's not going to be a long show. So I figure, well, a little while anyway, I have a few things to talk about as well. So just bear with me. And again, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not a therapist or a doctor or anything of the sort. And if you're unfamiliar with the Gatehouse, I would suggest you go to thegatehouse.org, and you will find out lots about what we do here. And what we do here is we support survivors of childhood sexual abuse, both for men and women. And we have groups for men, we have groups for men, we have co-ed groups, and we talk about our experiences, all peer support. Another thing I'm quite proud of too is that come January, I'll be here 9 years. And I came in here an absolute train wreck. And I'm still here and I didn't wreck my train, as they say. So folks, taking care of yourself through the holidays is so, so very important. I know the holidays have been very, very triggering for me in the past. And I've had, they weren't my favorite. It's not my favorite time of the year. And I'll indulge in that a little bit further as we go along. But folks, tonight I'm basically going to talk about safety, boundaries. Boundaries are so very, very important when it comes to your own safety and understanding, you know, what you're thinking and feeling and where you want to go with that. Anyway, folks, as a reminder, like I said, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm not a doctor, therapist, or anything of the sort. I'm only sharing my own experiences, and I'm also going to share some information. So tonight, I talked about the Gatehouse. We will be closed exclusively for the holidays from Friday, December 20th to Sunday, January the 5th. No programs will be running during this time. We will reopen on Monday, January the 6th, 2020 at 9 a.m. And if you are in need of assistance, there's a walk-in accessibility counseling resources in the community, which can be found on www.whatsupwalkin.ca, for example, for a resource. Another resource I can offer you as well is, what's it called? It's called e-mental health. So basically, I guess they are an online supporter. And if you go to www.ementalhealth.ca, and they're going to help you. Also, locally in the community around here in Toronto or Etobicoke or Mimico, we have the LAMP Community Center. The social work department offers up to 10 free CBT doctor referrals. What am I talking about? I've lost myself here for a second. Anyway, through the holidays, if you are finding you're needing some extra support, I would suggest you call LAMP at 416-252-6471, and they have social workers on staff that are willing to help you. If you can make an appointment, you can go in, but it's something to talk to anyway, nevertheless. Crisis in Toronto. So I'm basically focusing in the greater Toronto area. I know this podcast is broadcast all around the world, but I'm focusing primarily for my friends here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And if you are in the greater Toronto area and you are seeking some help because you are having a hard time, you can call the Toronto Distress Center at 416-408-4351 or 408-HELP. Offers access to emotional support for safety and security. Basically, you just need a phone close by. Another center that you can call too is the Gerstein Center, and they're 416-929-5200. And they provide a crisis intervention to adults living in the city of Toronto who are experiencing mental health problems. This service has three aspects: telephone support, community visits, and 10-bed short stay residence. If you are really having a problem, which I'm going to talk about safety, and this is just another part of it, so that if you feel you have to get out and you need a safe place to stay, well, the Gerstein Center, provided they have a bed, they can help you on that. The Assaulted Woman's Helpline. Let me just do one little thing here. Where is it? Okay, yes. Where are you? Here we go. Okay. The Assault Woman's Helpline. The number you can call is 416-863-0511, or you can call toll-free at 1-866-863-0511. For more than 25 years they've been around, the Assault Woman's Helpline has helped serve as free, anonymous, confidential 24-hour telephone and a TTY crisis telephone line to all women. Now, the Toronto Rape Crisis Center, a multicultural women against rape center, you can call at 416-597-8808. And for text support, you can dial 1-647-490-8822. Ash Nasabi, 24/7 Mental Health Crisis Management Service at 416-891-8606. For Aboriginal clients only. Not only promotes traditional Aboriginal practices, but has affirmed and placed them at its core. It's a model of healthcare based on traditional practices and approaches and are reflected in the design of its programs and services. So if you are experiencing a crisis, please call 911 if you have to. And they can direct you if you're not too sure who to call or what to do. And the 911 operator will direct you in the right place and get you the help that you need. So folks, like I've said, the Gatehouse will be closed for Christmas and New Year's. And I know it's a well-deserved break for the staff here, because the staff here worked really, really hard. And the volunteers work really, really hard. And they do so much in the community. I think most people have no idea what they do in the community in regards to support and services throughout the Greater Toronto Area, and actually internationally to a certain degree as well. So it's been a really interesting year. And lots have happened. I know that at the house here that we've had an awful lot of people come through. I know we've had to get our basement renovated. Back about 3 years ago, we had a really nasty flood, and we finally got the basement fixed. in the basement, we really need the space, because this is a big house, and yet we still need the space. We have a lot of groups going on. One of the things we do in the basement, well, I will get my new studio once I get down there and the renovations are done. But we had a water problem, so we were flooding in one of the drain pipes, and it backflowed. And so we had raw sewage come back into the house. So we had to get that fixed like right away. That part got fixed, but the only problem is that when the basement flooded, it did a lot of damage. So anything that was down there, we had to basically tear it out, like the drywall, any wood or anything like that, had to dry it right out. And therefore, we still had a water problem. You got to keep in mind that most people wouldn't know this, but this house is probably around 160 years old. So it's a Victorian style home. If you go into our gatehouse, which is thegatehouse.org, and you'll get a really good look at this house. And if you follow me on the Twitter feed, Got You Get Out Of, or The Unforgiven Warrior, as I call myself on Twitter, I sometimes post pictures of the gatehouse. It's a beautiful, beautiful old Victorian style home. It's been around here for, I say, around 160 years. And there's an awful lot of history out of this house prior to even us coming in. And truly a wonderful home, a house, rather, I should say. It's been kind of a home for me off and on throughout the years as well, because, I don't know, this is where I got my, where I got myself back. So I've spent a lot of time here and still do to quite a degree. But nevertheless, this house has a lot of, as much sadness as you might think comes into this house, there's an awful lot of joy goes on as well. When we have our groups, I used to be sitting back in another room, and I've heard this you know, literally hundreds and hundreds of times now, where there's been a group going on, for example, and I can even say in the groups that I've co-facilitated in as well, is that there's not just tears, for heaven's sakes, there's laughter here sometimes as well, which kind of really breaks the ice for, you know, what you might be dealing with. You know, it's always good to have to encompass laughing with your tears sometimes, which maybe kind of sound kind of odd for some people or even kind of weird, but that does happen. You know, where there's joy, there's where there's tears, there's joy, and vice versa. And that's a beautiful thing. But even when you come in the house, I guess what I'm getting at is my point is that when you come into the house, there's so much beautiful energy in this house. You come in, you know, you look up and you come in the front door and you look up the stairs. And you, if you can just imagine now, there's a big, long wooden stairs going up to the second level. And it's all old wood. And like I say, it's a very, very old house. And you can just imagine the, you know, we have 10-foot ceilings in this house. So it's, like I say, it's Victorian style. It's very much so, the way the windows are, the way the house is built. Very, very unique house. You won't find many like this even around to this day, whether they're being built new or something from the past. But very, very unique house. I love the place. It brings as much tears as it's brought me. It's brought me a lot of joy. So I really get excited when I hear, you know, when I talk about it and share it with others how wonderful this place is. It has been really wonderful for me and for many years, and also for many others that I've seen come through the house. So folks, a little bit about safety planning. For many people who have been affected by sexual assault, current or long-term safety can be an ongoing concern. Safety planning is about brainstorming ways to stay safe that may also reduce the risk of future harm. It can also include planning for future crisis, considering your options, and making decisions about your next steps. Finding ways to stay and feel safer can be an important step towards healing, and these and actions should not increase the risk by being hurt. Safety planning when someone is hurting you. Become familiar with safe places. Learn about safe places near you, such as a local domestic violence shelter or a family member's house. Learn the routes and commit them to memory. Find out more about sexual assault services providers in your area if you're not too sure, and that also offer support. I mentioned some in the beginning of the program locally here in Toronto, but if you're in another city, somewhere else in the world, look up your local, you know, phone directory or look online and see what's around and available, especially through the Christmas holidays, because they're usually a very tough time, even for families. Create a code word, for example. It might be a code word between you and your children that means get the hell out. Or with your support network means I need help. Keep computer safety in mind. If you think someone might be monitoring your computer, use considered or regularly clearing your cache history and cookies. You could also use a different computer at a friend's house or a public library. Learn on a support network. Having someone who can reach out for you for support and can be an important part of staying safe and finding recovery. Find someone you trust who could respond to a crisis if you need their help. So finally, you know, having a trusted person it could really be important, and to have a plan in place that if you do need help, that they can come and rescue you or get you out of where you are from a really bad situation. Another thing you'll need to do is prepare an excuse. Create a severe and plausible reason for leaving the house at different times or existing situations that might become dangerous. Have these on hand in case you need to get away quickly. And the next thing you need to figure out is where I'm going to stay after you've had to leave. Stay safe at home. If a person is hurting you, is in your home, and you can take the steps to feel safer, try hanging bells, noisemaker on your door to scare a person hurting you away. Or slip into public spaces or like your living room, or if possible, keep the doors inside of your house locked, or put something heavy in front of the doors, in front of them, so nobody can open them. If you're protecting yourself from someone who do not live with you, keep all doors locked when you're not using them, and install an outside lighting system or with motion detectors, and change the locks if necessary. So safety planning when someone is stalking you. If possible, keep your cell phone charged and have emergency contact numbers programmed ahead of time. You may want to save these contacts under a different name. Memorize the numbers in case you don't have a cell phone access in the future. Change your routine. Be aware of your daily routine and begin to alter it over time. Over a period of time. Switch up the way you commute more often, taking different routes or different modes of transportation. So you could do is you could visit a stalking resources center for more to stay, in order to find out to stay safer. And again, find someone you trust. Stalking should be kept secret. Tell your loved ones, your parents, and other trusted adults, or local police to determine if a report can, if it can be made. Safety planning when leaving the person you're hurting you. Make an escape bag. Pack a bag that includes important papers, documents, such as your birth certificate, license, passports, social security cards, bills, prescription drugs, medical records, including cash, keys, and credit cards. Hide the bag very well. If discovered, call it a hurricane bag or a fire bag, some kind of excuse for something, right? If you are escaping with children, include their identity information as well, because you'll need that in case you have to get out of the house. Have a plan of destination. If you are going to stay with someone you know, locate the nearest domestic violence shelter or homeless shelter. Thinking about plan B, it's not plausible to make a backup plan for every situation, but thinking about the following scenarios might prevent you from winding up in a tough spot. Are you familiar with your surroundings? Take note of local landmarks like drugstores, restaurants that can help you feel more oriented. If something happens, you'll know where to turn for help. If you get lost, do you have an address of your lodging written down or memorized in your local language? If you are separated from a group, is there a designated place where they could go and look you up? Or rather look for you, I should say. If your phone dies, do you have portable backup charger and a few phone numbers memorized? If you're traveling out of the US or Canada, have your activated international service. If you are planning on driving, do you have access to a map on your GPS? Does it work? Do you know the nearest hospital or police station is and how to contact them? So knowing these things is very, very important. Like if you have to, you know, you have to get the hell out of the house because you're in a domestic violence situation, and you know, having a plan ahead of time could be really crucial to getting you and your children out of the house before hopefully nothing else happens. Where am I? Okay. I think I'll go back to this other thing here, and I'm going to go back to about traveling abroad. Alcohol safety. Like many other substances, alcohol can inhibit a person's physical and mental abilities. In this context of sexual assault, this means that the alcohol make it easier for the perpetrator to commit the crime and can even prevent someone from remembering that the assault occurred. Here's some tips how to stay safe. You can take steps to increase your safety in situations where drinking may be involved. These tips can help you feel more safe and may reduce the risk of something happening. Though it is best to stay safe while under the influence of alcohol, it's important to remember that sexual assault is never the victim's fault, regardless of whether they were sober or under any influence of drugs or alcohol when it occurred. Keep an eye on your friends. If you're going to go into a group, plan to arrive together and leave together. If you decide to leave early, let your friends know. If you're at a party, then check in with them during the night and see how they're doing. If something doesn't look right, step in. Don't be afraid. Let your friend know if something is making you uncomfortable, or if you are worried about their safety or yours. Have a backup plan. Sometimes plans change quickly. You might realize that it's not safe for you to drive home, or the group you arrived might decide to go somewhere and you don't feel comfortable. Keep the number for a reliable taxi company, save it on your phone and on a piece of paper in your wallet, or try to have cash on hand as well. It's also a good idea to download a few different rideshare apps on your phone, having multiple options to help you ensure you that you're able to get a ride or to a safe location, even if the app you typically use is not functioning. You keep your phone charged, and you can stay safe in communication with friends or a call for a ride. Consider bringing an external cell phone charger that can be used without electrical outlet. So a portable charger, if you're, like, for example, if you're out and you're using your phone a lot. I know I have one of those at home. I plug it in, and then I have extra. Well, put it this way, I can charge my phone on this little wee battery pack, which I can bring with me, which is really handy in case you can't plug it in. Know what you're drinking. So I know I used to do a lot of drinking myself, and sometimes you go to parties and you just never know what's going on unless you're serving your own drinks. Or if you're in a bar, you need to be really, really careful of what you're drinking, because you never know. Date rapes does sometimes happen, mainly to women, but sometimes to men as well. And what will happen is, when you least expect it, somebody's going to drop something in your drink. And before you know it, you've lost your ability to be cognizant and to think for yourself. And therefore, you need to be, taken care of. And the thing is, though, if that happens, you need to be taken care of. You want to be taken care of by the right person. So having a plan is so important in this sort of situation. Know what you are drinking. That's what I was talking about. Don't recognize the ingredient. Use your phone book. Look it up. Consider avoid large batches. Excuse me. Okay, consider avoiding large batch of drinks like punches that may have deceptive high alcohol content or something else put into it. There's no way of knowing exactly what was used to create those drinks. Trust your instincts. If you feel unsafe, uncomfortable, or worried for any reason, don't ignore these feelings. Go with your gut. Get somewhere safe and find someone you trust, or call law enforcement. Again, it's going to fall back to what I was just talking about. Do not leave your drink unattended. That includes when you use the bathroom, go dancing, or leave, make a phone call. Either take the drink with you or throw it out. Avoid using the same cup and refill the drink. Don't accept drinks from people you don't know or trust. This can be challenging for some in some settings, like a party or a date. You choose to accept a drink from someone you've just met. Try to go to a person to the bar and order it, and watch it being poured and carried out yourself. Check in with yourself. You might have heard expressions known as this expression, know your limits. Whether you drink regularly or not, check with yourself periodically and to register how you feel. If you think you have had too much, ask a trusted friend to help you get water or get home safely. Remember, if someone offers you a drink, you can always say no. Beware of sudden changes in the way your body feels. if you feel more intoxicated than you and you are comfortably than you're comfortable with, some drugs are odorless, like I've talked about being dumped in your drink, colorless and or tasteless, and can be added to your drink without you noticing. If you feel uncomfortable, tell a friend and have them take you to a safe place. If you suspect you or your friend has been drugged, call 911 and tell the healthcare professionals that you suspect that that you or a friend have been drugged, and so they can administer the right tests. Even if you were consuming alcohol when you were sexually assaulted occurred, remember, it was not your fault. You're not alone. Speak with someone who is trained to help. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-HOPE or 800-656-4673 or chat online or go to online.rain.org. That's for men as well in Canada, rather in the U.S. And now, if you're thinking about traveling, like leaving your country or your city or going to another city, safety tips for traveling. Whether you travel often or you're getting ready for a once-in-a-lifetime vacation, it's important you think about your safety as part of your travel. Preparations. The following tips can be helpful, can help travels and travelers plan for a safe and comfortable trip. It may reduce the risk for many different types of crimes, including sexual violence. So before you go, share your travel information before you leave. Share your itinerary with someone you trust. Include the address and phone number of your accommodations and transportation information, like your flight numbers. Research the ground transportation. Research taxi and ride-sharing companies that are available and reputable in your area. Do they take credit cards or only cash? Is there a number that you can call if you have had bad experiences? If you plan on taking public transportation, look for a mobile app that has real-time updates and for transportation system and for your destination. This can help you avoid waiting for a bus in an isolated area. Familiarize yourself with the destination. Use tools like Google Maps to scout out the area around your destination. Is there a hospital or police station located near where you are staying? Check to see if there are local bus stops in your area or shopping center where you can easily find a cab. If you plan on going out in the evenings, plan your return trip in advance. Plan for safety abroad. Travelers, check out the U.S. State Department for resources to international travelers. Identify the nearest U.S. embassy or consulate, or in this case, if you're Canadian like I am, you would the nearest consulate or embassy. And store their contact information. The counselor's office are available for emergency assistance 24/7. So you can also register your internal trip with the Smart Travel Enrollment Program. If you are planning to travel on a cruise ship, be ready for the safety information provided by the cruise line and learn more about the cruise ship safety before you board. When you get there, beware of vacation brain. It's nice to relax, put your worries on pause. Doesn't mean that you should let your guard down. Many vacation destinations can create a false sense of security. You may become fast friends with people you meet, but give them the time they earn and time to earn your trust. Keep track of what you drink. Be smart about what you drink. not familiar with an ingredient, look it up on your smartphone. Keep track of how much you've had to drink and beware of the danger signs. If someone doesn't seem right, for example, if you feel more intoxicated than you should, or if a situation is making you feel uncomfortable, get to the safe place as soon as you can. Learn about these steps you can take to stay safe if you want to drink. Okay. Now, we talked about traveling. In an emergency abroad, if you find yourself in an emergency situation abroad, contact the U.S. Department of State or your embassy from whatever country you're in. They can connect you with a variety of resources and help wherever you are. From the U.S. and Canada, you can call 1-888-407-47. Overseas, 1-202-501-4444. You could also contact the nearest embassy, U.S. embassy or consulate in the country where you are visiting. Consular officers are available for emergency assistance 24/7. If you're a victim of crime, you can have support of the U.S. consulate office to navigate the process. The person cannot investigate crimes or will provide legal services, but they can help you navigate the criminal justice system in the country that you're visiting. If you contact or report local or law enforcement, be sure to request a copy of the police report. Well, there, folks, are a bunch of safety tips in regards to your safety, everything from alcohol to domestic abuse. And if you have children, this is very, very important in regards to, you know, getting you through the holidays. So I know the holidays are a really hard time for a lot of people and families, right? From my experience in the past, well, my aunt's a little bit different, meaning that I was a child and, I don't think my parents ever really knew what was going on when I was being abused, but I wish this sort of thing had been around when I was younger, or there was better precautions taken when I was younger, because then this stuff never would have happened to me as well. But folks, having a good plan, what to do, which I've described from this stuff that I've read to you, finding a safe place, having a friend that you can call, a code word, anything if you're in it. If you feel that you're feeling unsafe in your situation, having a plan is so crucial so you can get yourself out of the house along with your children if need be, or you, or maybe you don't have children. I really don't know, but having a plan that if you do and you're in a relationship where your partner is abusive, especially when he's drinking or she's drinking, is very, very important. I know that being a child and through my experiences, I didn't have that sort of thing. When I was abused, my parents didn't even know. And imagine, you know, growing up, being a child in the early 60s and growing up and, you know, not a care in the world. I remember as a child, not a care in the world and not having to worry about my safety whatsoever. Was I ever wrong about that? Granted, I never had an abusive father and mother that were fighting all the time in front of us, or my father never beat on anybody in front of me. If he did, I never saw it. I never witnessed it, but still, nevertheless, having a plan is so crucial to what you could do if you want to get out of a bad situation. I hope some of the stuff I tell you I've mentioned tonight will help you in your process of trying to figure something out for yourself, knowing that you're in a relationship that, well, your partner could be violent at times, and this is obviously a bad time of the year for that to happen, especially for you and your children. But having a plan in place is crucial to getting you out of there safely, so nothing really bad happens to you or your children. Okay, folks, It's been a really, really interesting year. A lot of stuff has happened. We had our basement fixed, like I told you. We've done quite a few things throughout the summer. We've celebrated our 21st anniversary this year at the Gatehouse. We had our third annual Healing the Voice Within charity run, which just happened back in October, and which was very successful. And I know we're already planning to do one again for 2020, which will be our fourth annual one. And we had our annual conference, which was earlier in the year, which was in May, which was a great success as well. Which we've had this year, we had it at for 2019, we had it at the Toronto Police College. Over it's close by, and that would have been the ninth annual conference. I know I remember I missed the first one and I made the second one. So if I make this one coming up, this will be my eighth one, my eighth conference, which will be in May, which we'll be promoting through the Gatehouse website. Which is thegatehouse.org. If you didn't catch it the first time or the third time that I've mentioned this, but if you go there, it'll show you details, pictures, our guests that we've had in the past, and it's basically about, well, our conference is about supporting survivors of childhood sexual abuse, and we have lots of really good speakers on there, excluding myself. I mean, I've talked on there as well. We talked about our partners program. We've talked about lots of different things on there. But we've had really good, really good, amazing guests. I know last year, this year, we've had really, really good, amazing guests. I remember we had a sex therapist come on and talk about being a survivor of, as well. She is a survivor. She was a survivor of childhood sexual abuse as well. And now she is a sex therapist. She was in the sex trade and just an amazing, amazing story how this woman transformed around. Don't ask me her name right at the top tip of my tongue, but you go to our website, and which mentions her name in there, and the guests that we've had on from this year. So that was another great experience for the year for me as well. Was our conference and being able to talk about Blog Talk Radio, or rather, talking about personal transformation. This podcast. This will be my, I guess it's my. Seventh year doing this, going on my seventh year, sorry, my sixth year, I should say, that I've been doing this. And when I first started doing this, I had no idea I'd even be doing this. I've done 200 podcasts. I've had over 4,000 listens from around the world. And granted, you know, you have to keep in mind, folks, that I'm talking about stuff that really most people don't even want to talk about. It wouldn't come up at the dinner table. It wouldn't even come up in conversation in a bar. This is the type of conversation that nobody wants to talk about. I'm aware of another person doing a podcast, which is very, very similar to mine, which is out in California. And forgive me because if it slips my tongue, but I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But if you were to go online and you were to type in podcasts about survivors of childhood sexual abuse, you would find me and you would find this other person on the West Coast. From the last time I checked, there might even be more now. I have no idea. But from the last time I checked, there was only the two of us. And we're talking about just any exponential level of caring and support of others, which is really, really important because nobody wants to talk about this stuff. What else can I add? I know we had a fundraiser in the summer, which was very successful as well. We celebrated our birthday in the summer. We had an outdoor barbecue, which was another interesting event. And again, a lot of these events that I'm talking about, if you go onto our website, you'll see that we have them posted on there. And we always keep everything posted, what we do and what's going on, to keeping the community informed of what the Gatehouse does. And also in our services that we provide as well. As I mentioned, we provide support for a lot of different things. And I know that there's always, the house is busy from Monday to Thursday. Friday, we don't hold any groups. Because Fridays, we usually, whether we got to do work, maintenance around the house, or or we need to do one-on-ones, but basically there's groups here from Monday to Thursday, both in the daytime and in the evening until 9 o'clock. So we're open from 9 till 9, 5 days a week. And we have a ton of resources here as well. We have a library with lots of good books, books on self-help. And in fact, if you're anybody listening out there who happens to be an author and has written a story or a book about childhood sexual abuse or something related to that, you know, regarding supporting one another or just supporting the cause, period, please send a copy to the Gatehouse for our library. It would only be used for people to, you know, for people to read to help for themselves. So basically, we're looking for books on self-help for survivors of childhood sexual abuse. You could send, if you wanted to, books, well, for adults mainly, but also we have children come in here too as well. So if you have any children's books regarding safety towards children knowing and understanding unwanted touching and that sort of thing, for example, would be greatly welcomed as well. So we're always looking for more books for our library. So please, folks, if you're an author or if you know something, even let us know about it, and we can get it and put it in our library. Let me see. You know what, folks? I have to say this. You know what? I've been burning a candle from both ends, and I'm extremely tired, so I seem to be a little bit discombobulated in my conversation to a certain degree. So I apologize if I do sound that way. And nevertheless, I'm plugging my way through this, but I'm not going to be on here a whole lot longer because I am totally exhausted, and it's a long story, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want the old violin going there because that's not what I'm after. But I just wanted to come on here and talk about some of the stuff that I have. So I said we've had a very, very interesting year, lots of stuff going on. We've had, you know, we've had, I don't know how many people we've had come through the house this year. Probably, I'm only guessing from the groups. I would say probably pretty close to 200, if not more. Never mind the one-on-ones that we do and the other supports that we do, such as the Partners Program, which we do once every couple of months. And usually we have a lot of people doing that. We also do suicide intervention training, assist suicide intervention training, which is led by Brad and Paula. I have done training in the past as well, and I still will probably be doing it in the future. But like I say, we have lots to offer in regards to helping yourself. I really recommend that if you're looking for resources and you're in the Greater Toronto Area, go onto our website and you'll find lots there aside from what I've mentioned just here online right here and now this evening, and which you might find helpful. We also have downloads on there as well. So if you are looking for certain information, well, we do have certain information on there related to our manuals, for example. Our peer support manuals, which you can download, which cost you absolutely nothing. Folks, we are a nonprofit organization. We are founded, the Gatehouse is founded in 1998, so we're 21 years old as of 2019. We are solely rely on donations and grants to keep the house running. Folks, if you're in the Greater Toronto Area, we've had around 30,000 people come through the house that the house is, the Gatehouse has helped over the years, the last 21 years. Folks, we're always looking for donations. If you can, in any way possible, if you'd like to make a donation, you can go on to our website and you don't even have to come down here, or you can send a check or you can drop it off. It's totally up to you. But folks, we really could use your help. Like I say, we rely solely on donations and grants to keep the house going. And money is really, really hard to come by these days. It's not easy asking people for money. I have a hard time asking people for money. But you know what? This is for a really, really good cause, meaning that, well, we help an awful lot of people out here. And, you know, it's only been the last little while that we've had to start. We've actually started charging people for things, such as for our manuals, for example, our art therapy program, and other programs that we offer as well. We've had to ask people, and trust me, it's really just a drop in the bucket for what we charge in comparison to what you would go if you went to a regular clinician and paid a therapist, you know, $150 an hour or $100 an hour. We're not like that. We don't do that. I mean, it's still free for you to come and do the group, most of the groups. Some are groups that we've had to actually put a charge on now. Same thing with our manuals. The manuals we provide for both the men and for the women in the separate groups and the co-ed groups, again, it costs money for the paper, and it costs, you know, we need to get, rather, we, you know, it just costs money for the material. And we need to recover our costs somehow so we can keep giving this information to our participants to come into the house. Folks, I think I'm going to stop it here. Like I said, I'm really retired, and like I said, I'm burning the candle from both ends, but I wanted to come on here, and I'm kind of hoping I can get back on here one more time before the new year. And what I mean by that is there's a lady I want to speak to, Elise, in Australia, and she's a therapist and survivor of domestic violence, if I'm not mistaken, but she's the therapist, and she also does through SEMPI, if you were to Google it, I'm pretty sure I pronounced it correctly, and what she offers is suicide intervention and coaching, life coaching, and I'm kind of excited because I wanted to talk to her. I was kind of hoping to talk to her before, like even before today. It didn't work out that way, but she's in Australia. So we are obviously talking in different days. So I'm going to try to plan it so I can talk to her before the new year, but if not, it's just going to have to be in the new year. It's just the way it's going to work out. So I'm going to try to come back before the new year. If not, I'll be shortly here after the new year, but the primary, I'm going to try to come back here before the new year because I have an awful lot of, well, I shouldn't have a lot of time off, but I have quite a, we have 2 weeks that are where I'm going to have, well, I'm going to have, well, I know I'm going to work on Monday coming up, but then I'm off for Christmas till Thursday. And then I go back to work for a day or 2 days. And then the following week is New Year's. And New Year's falls on a Wednesday this year. So therefore, I'll have the Wednesday and the Thursday off. So I am going to try to come back before the New Year. Crossing my fingers, that's the way it's going to work out. Folks, I bid you thank you. And hope I didn't sound too babbly and that sort of thing. But like I say, I'm really, really tired. And I think it's time for me to stop before I do start saying something really, really silly, and I don't make any sense to myself or to you, which is totally counterproductive. But I have to drive home. And folks, I'm going to thank you for tuning in. We've had a lot of really, really great guests on here this year. I'm really looking forward to the new year. Just mentioning Lise as an example. I'm definitely going to get Danny and Rosie back from the UK. I'm hoping to get a few other people. I wanted to get Maria back here again. By the way, Maria is the executive director of the Gatehouse and some other great guests. I'm going to have come back here. I would like to get some more a therapist on here and create some great conversation in regards to some of the things that we go through as survivors of childhood sexual abuse, such as our sexuality, our anger, our fears, guilt, you know, shame, addiction, disassociation. You know, there's so many different things that you could be going through that I've gone through. And a lot of what I went through, which I'm talking about here, how I helped myself was just by talking about it, by sharing my story with others and others letting and hearing other stories, very similar experiences in helping me. And vice versa. So, folks, if I don't talk to you by the new year, well, I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas, even though it's not my most favorite time of the year. And I'm going to wish you a Happy New Year. And I hope your 2019 wasn't too bad. And I'm certainly going to wish you really the best for 2020. Folks, it's been great. Been a lot of fun. And what can I say? I'm not sorry at all for what I'm doing. And I'm going to continue to keep doing what I'm doing. And folks, it's about supporting one another. And that's what I'm here to do, is support you like you support me. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful wonderful time through the holidays. And I'll certainly be thinking about all of you. I'll see you on social media. If you follow me on Twitter, you'll find me. I'm Got to Get Out Of or The Unforgiven Warrior. You can find me. And what can I say? I've pretty much said it all, I think. Folks, have a wonderful evening. Thank you for listening. If you were listening, and if you're listening to me later on, well, have a good holidays, and I shall talk to you later on. Good night from the Gatehouse at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, or all the toll codes, I like to say. Have a happy holidays. Good night.